Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows, Part 2, the last in the Potter films from the very last of the Potter books in the series, hits theaters at midnight tonight. Harry and his friends Ron and Hermione searching for the final Horcruxes, objects infused with pieces of the dark Lord Voldemort's soul.
He knows if we find and destroy all the Horcruxes, we'll be able to kill him. Oh, there's more. One of them's at Hogwarts.
What?
We have to go there now.
What? We can't do that. We've got to plan. We've got to figure it out.
Hermione, when have any of our plans ever actually worked? We plan, we get there, all hell breaks loose.
We plan, we get there, all hell breaks loose. That pretty much sums up the stories by J.K. Rowling, but doesn't touch the detail in the stories or their hold on the generation that grew up with them. What will they do now? Let's find out. 24-year-old Joe DeGeorge is with us. Hello.
Hello. How are you?
I'm good. His 32-year-old brother Paul is with us as well. Hi, Paul.
Hi.
They're the front men of the wizard rock band Harry and the Potters. They're on tour right now in Clearwater, Florida. Are you down there in Clearwater?
Yep, that's right.
Okay, we're going to talk more about your band in a second. But also with us, Elizabeth Patchley, a 22-year-old Masters of Fine Arts student at Emerson College here in Boston. She's in the Writing, Literature, and Publishing program. She's also a founding member of the Emerson College Quidditch team. Elizabeth, thanks for joining us. To you as well.
How's it going?
It's fine. How's it going for you? Let's start with you, Elizabeth. How are you feeling? Final movie.
It's definitely a big moment. I'm getting a whole group of people together to go see the midnight premiere. And it's kind of the last time that we can all dress up, go out, and be silly.
What will you wear?
I am planning on wearing my full-on Quidditch uniform.
Mm-hmm. Well, Paul, Joe, DeGeorge Brothers, your thoughts, last movie.
Well, we're definitely excited for the movie. I mean, we've been out on tour for a couple months now, and we love seeing people come into our shows dressed up, and it's sort of like we're another way for people to stay involved with Harry Potter and, you know, sort of geek out, get dressed up.
Give people a taste of the music. You've been on the program before. What is it that you try to do through the band Harry and the Potters?
This is Joe. We play in the band as two Harry Potters from different points in time, singing from the perspective of Harry Potter.
So it's music that you've written sort of based on the Harry Potter story.
Right. We inhabit the character of Harry Potter.
Let's listen a little.
We've got to save Ginny Weasley from the basilisk. We've got to save the school from that unseen horror.
Last movie's out, but do I understand, Paul, that all of you aren't feeling as sad as you were when the last book came out?
That was just a huge moment for Harry Potter fans. I think a huge cultural moment for the world. There'd never been anything like that with, you know, millions of people waiting for this book at midnight. You know, you just don't see that. You see midnight releases with movies, but very rarely with books, and certainly nothing of that magnitude. So, you know, I just remember, like, being so psyched to read this book and find out what happened. I think Miss Rowling was just a fantastic storyteller and world builder, and she created this world that a lot of people can relate to. There's like a character in Harry Potter for everyone. Even if you're not like the hero like Harry, there's other ways that you can relate to these books. And so many people like grew up with them and they grew up alongside Harry Potter. And in a lot of ways, that final book sort of was the cue like, okay, you're an adult now for a whole generation.
So it's a way for young people to sort of build their own identity. And Elizabeth, I think literally that happened for you. Didn't you decide to change careers?
Yeah, halfway through high school, I was dead set on being a biologist, and then I switched to wanting to become a writer, in part definitely because of Harry Potter. You know, being a writer is a way to touch more people.
Paul and Joe, it seems like you've been inspired to be musicians.
Yeah, we were definitely inspired by Harry and his journey and, you know, the way he does stand up for what he believes in. I saw a lot of my punk rock heroes in Harry Potter, you know, because the whole world's sort of bearing down on him, and he's unfazed by it, and he's ready to fight back.
Well, but the books and the movies drawing to a close, with that in mind, first of all, I want to ask each of you, what would you recommend that young people pick up and read now? Start with you, Elizabeth.
If you want to go kind of the fantasy adventure route, there's some really great books, probably which some Harry Potter fans have already picked up on, but The Chronicles of Narnia by C.S. Lewis, The Lord of the Rings by J.R.R. Tolkien. Then I have to say one series that I've gotten into that's kind of more of a British children's literature is Swallows and Amazons. Mm-hmm. It's by Arthur Ransom, and they were written in the 1930s. Basically, it's about these siblings who go off and they go on adventures on their sailing boat, and it's great because they're kind of going off doing their own thing, making their own adventures.
We're going to have these lists, by the way, at our website here, now.org. Keep going. What other suggestions?
The Hunger Games is another great book. That's a more recent book by Suzanne Collins. And what's great about that is it's a female protagonist that's kind of in the middle of all the action.
Paul and Joe, you recommend the Hunger Games trilogy as well.
Yeah, that was on our list as well, for sure. I love that series, and a lot of the plot line resonates with like our current sort of media culture and the way violence is sensationalized. This female protagonist who's a teenager gets sucked into sort of like these fight-to-the-death games that are televised nationally where the whole country is sort of forced to watch in this dystopian future. Yeah, it's pretty brutal.
They're making that into a movie, right?
Yeah, I think that movie comes out probably next fall or winter.
And what would be another suggestion from you?
I recommend the His Dark Materials series.
Mm-hmm.
The Golden Compass is the first book. That was a movie. Those books are just wonderful. There's three books in the series, and I read it at a time in my life where I was starting to question all sorts of bureaucratic structures in our society, and that book definitely touches on those themes.
And then there's the Mistborn trilogy.
Oh yeah, that was one of my picks. I love that. That's some hardcore fantasy for folks out there who like that. It's written by Brandon Sanderson, who's a real up-and-coming fantasy author. He's been tapped to finish Robert Jordan's epic Wheel of Time series, but Mistborn is sort of his masterwork, and it's just got really, really great world building and cool magic and characters who have the ability to sort of burn metals, and they give them power. Like, they ingest metals like aluminum, and that gives them a certain power.
Cool. One wonders what that amusement park ride will look like. I just went to Orlando with a bunch of nieces and nephews, and the whole goal was to go to the Harry Potter exhibit there, which is pretty stunning. You know, the ride where they make you feel like you're flying. But just like the Harry Potter exhibit that was at some museums, including the Museum of Science here, the whole thing culminates in this huge store where they're selling Harry Potter everything, you know, and it's very, very expensive. Do you worry about the commercialization of Harry Potter? Elizabeth, start with you, that someday he'll just be some really expensive wand.
I have to tell you, I haven't even been to the magical world of Harry Potter, and I already have two things from it that various people have given to me because they know I love Harry Potter. But I think when you get down to, you know, the fans, I mean, we're the ones who are keeping, you know, the spirit of Harry Potter alive, and I think that's a big difference.
Yeah. Well put, Elizabeth. One of the cool things about Harry Potter is that there's these alternatives to these mass-marketed T-shirts and products and Wizard Worlds and things like that, and that's come out of the fan culture that's established, and, like, the best examples of that are the Quidditch Association, where people can still stay involved in Harry Potter without just buying T-shirts, or Wizard Rock and bands playing songs about Harry Potter, and it's at this sort of DIY level that's very subcultural.
Well, Joe, how long do you think you'll be able to play in a band, Harry and the Potters? I mean, do you still see yourself, you know, 10, 20, 30, 40 years from now?
We'd be pretty old Harry Potters.
Hey!
Yeah, our whole thing is that we play on stage as Harry Potter from, like, you know, his time at Hogwarts, so I'm probably already pushing it in my 30s.
We started this band almost 10 years ago, and I've been Harry Potter year four for 9 years now. We don't age.
Well, so maybe not that. Joe and Paul DeGeorge of the Wizard Rock Band, Rock, W-R-O-C-K Band, Harry and the Potters. Also with us, Elizabeth Pashley, founding member of the Emerson College Quidditch team. Thank you all.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah.